We'll now read from Scripture. We have two readings this morning. The first from Matthew, Matthew 2, 1 through 12, and then John 1, 1 through 18. So firstly, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and came to worship him." When Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them whether Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Then John 1, 1 through 18, entitled "The Word Became Flesh." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." So far this reading of God's word.
Our text verse is from Matthew 2 verse 2. "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to to worship him. And the topic this morning is, where is the King? Where is the King? Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, it is Christmas. After a challenging year, so challenging, and we can be encouraged this morning with the words that our Lord and Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born. But also, do not let anyone take your peace away. It's a day of joy for some, a day of family time. For others, it's a day of their memories when we have celebrated Christmas with their loved ones who went to the Lord already. For some, it's a lonely day today, a sad day. Some are disillusioned. There are also those who don't have any hope today. Some are spending today in a hospital bed without any visitors because of the times we're living in. But they have all hope if Jesus is their King. Therefore, we praise the Lord. And we are here this morning to celebrate the Lord's birth, to hear the gospel, to be strengthened for the year to come. We praise the Lord that we started Christmas like this. Because we have joy not only to be with our loved ones, but because our Savior was born. A good shepherd was born, wrapped in clothes, humiliated for our sake. And the Lord has not forgotten his children in the year 2021, but he's personally involved with his people. And we need to hold on to this. Our comfort is that we belong to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ was born. He was the son of David, the son of Abraham, but above all, the son of God. He was the anointed, the Messiah, the Christ. And this is the true meaning of Christmas. And he came to make you God's child again. He came to take away the fear of death, the fear of any coronavirus, to make you whole again. He came to give you hope. This is the comfort of Christmas. That you can look at this year and don't see fear, don't see viruses, but see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was born to free us from the bondage of sin, the terrors that sin caused, and ultimately death. And Jesus is the answer to a heart that wants to belong, despair. Do not be afraid. For us, this is the most wonderful news that resounds in our hearts. We belong to Christ. The Savior is born. But now the question, what about those who don't know where the King is? What about those who don't know where the King is? And today we hear this question so many ask in the world today, where's the King? Where's the King? Tomorrow you will also hear, and you are all invited to the service as well. Someone will ask, that's John the Baptist, are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else? Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for someone else? But with this question this morning, where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? It was evident that wise men were looking for Jesus. In our Bible reading, we read that they found him. They offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these items were gifts to a king in the ancient world. And I want you to keep this question, where's the King, the whole time in your mind? Where's the King? And our Bible reading answers this question, but also shows the way to everyone was looking for some peace, was looking for the Lord. And the first means that the Lord used to answer the question was nature. And thank you so much, Dirk, for that children's story. That's exactly what I'm preaching on. It appears you have written this sermon. We read in Matthew 2 that a wise man came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose. We have come to worship him." And the Greek word for the wise man is magi, or magicians. Or it can be referred to in today's language as scientists. And they came from the East. They could also be associated with the magicians mentioned in Daniel 2, where King Nebuchadnezzar speaks to people referred to as magicians, astrologers, and wise men. And these wise men knew it was not just any star. It was the star of the Messiah. It can indicate that they knew the prophecy of Numbers 24. "I see him now, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall cross the forehead of Moab and break down the sons of Sheth." But it can also mean, this is more likely, that this star will lead him to a king. Because of the ancient belief that signs in the heavens portrayed great or terrible things to come depending on who is interpreting the sign. But they thought it heralded the birth of a king. And the wise men saw the star and they knew that something important had happened. They saw God's creation, his star. But it wasn't enough. They could not find Jesus. And so we confess in our confession, Belgic Confession Article 2, we know God by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and the government of the universe. Nature is the first means where we know God. And since creation is like a beautiful book before our eyes, just look outside the mountains, which all creatures, great and small, are as letters to make us ponder the invisible things of God, God's eternal power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1 verse 20. All these things are enough to convict humans, to leave them without excuse that they could say, "We didn't know." Second, God makes himself clearly known to us by his holy and divine word, as much as we need in this life, for God's glory and for our salvation. And nature is also the way, an answer to the scientists, those asking if you can inherit eternal life without Jesus. Nature, science is not enough. We need God's word to lead us to Jesus. But nature is speaking about God, telling us about his care, his preservation. It takes all excuses away. It tells us about the consequences of sin it was subjected to, the great flood of Noah, ultimately the need of a redeemer. It also tells us that we need our Lord Jesus Christ to come again. This was the road the wise men were upon. They were looking for the king, a king. But eventually, they found the king of all kings. And so nature led him to the word of God. And this is the second means by which we know God. First, the wise men asked King Herod. King Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, For so the prophet writes, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." This was the prophecy of the king Micah, of the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2. And so King Herod told the wise men this prophecy. Send them to Bethlehem. Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Of course, this was a lie. We know that Herod was suspicious and jealous, had murder in his heart. He wanted to kill Jesus. And later, if you read further, and maybe you'll do it this evening, he ordered to kill all the male children who were 2 years old or under, after the wise men were warned by God not to return to Herod. And after listening to King Herod, the wise men went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going to the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell in worship him. And so it's again in accordance with our confession, Belgic Confession Article 3. We confess that this word of God was not sent nor delivered by human will, but that men and women, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God, as Peter says in 2 Peter 2. And the word led a wise man to Jesus. And afterward, our God, with special care for us and our salvation, commanded his servants, the prophets and apostles, to commit the revealed word to writing. And God, with his own finger, wrote the two tables of the law. And therefore, we call such writings holy and divine scriptures. And the wise men followed scripture, the prophecies. They believe, and it led them to Jesus. Jesus himself said in Luke 11, verse 9, "And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." If you seek Jesus, you will find him. But a question, what about the chief priests, the scribes, even King Herod, who told the wise men exactly where Jesus was? They knew scripture. They were ready to answer. But they did not go and look for themselves. What about those seeking answers today? Those who are depressed. Those who live without Jesus. When I came to church this morning, there were quite a few people in the roads exercising, and it's great. But what greater thing it is to come to church this morning to serve the King? What greater thing to be? Because you can be fit as you can be, but if you live without the King, it's all in vain. And so the question, why are the people of this world not going and seeking the one who can take all their fears away? Also of this virus. Someone told me the queues were so much up this highway for people who wanted to be tested. Why are they not in church seeking the one who can take their fear away? And the question is, they were looking in the wrong places. The Jewish people longed for a Messiah that would free them from their enemies, Roman rule. Some want God to be a God of judgment, God to fight their battle. Some want Jesus to be a freedom fighter. Some see him as only as one who will heal them from their physical ailments. We live in a time where we will, and we want to understand, and we want to see. And God understands us, and he gave us Jesus. He answered that question so that the word came alive. Jesus was born. And that was what John, in the Gospel of John, describes to us. It's the book and the life about Jesus, the King, which is God as well. And the man that John knew and saw and heard and touched with his hands. 1 John 1 verse 1. Jesus was not a ghost. He had flesh and blood. He was born. He ate and drank and got tired, and John knew him closely. In the last part of his life and her life, John's mother, Jesus' mother, lived with John. John 19 verse 26. Therefore, John, our second reading, John 1 verse 1 to 3, was telling us the most intimate things about Jesus that he can. It took John more than 3 years to get to know Jesus, to figure out who Jesus was. But he doesn't want his readers to take more than 3 verses to find out what took him so long. And he tells us in 3 verses to have in our minds fixed and transparent from the beginning of his gospel the eternal majesty and deity and creator rights of Jesus Christ. This is the word that came and lived among us. Why did John choose to call Jesus the word? The beginning was the word. And John calls Jesus the word because he had come to see the words and the person of Jesus as the truth of God. Every prophecy in Jesus was fulfilled. God, Jesus himself, in his coming and working, teaching and dying and rising, was the final and decisive message of God to bring us from the reign of darkness to the light in Jesus Christ. And so John wants you to see, to understand and hear that Jesus Christ is God, truly God. The answer, the truth, the life, John 14. And God himself testified this through his holy gospel, his Holy Spirit, not only the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but his whole words. All prophecies are fulfilled in Jesus. Already in paradise, God announced that Christ would come. Every passage, it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit. The wise men followed a star. It led them to the Word, ultimately Jesus, and they were filled with joy. That's the answer. But there are so many who can't find the King still today. Why is that? And so the Apostle Paul explains it to us in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, foolishness. And he's not able to understand him because they are spiritually discerned. They're not looking for a King. The Holy Spirit explains the word in the heart. He assures us that Jesus is the Messiah. And he brings us into action in our work, our busy lives, to take a pause today, to think about the King. All this unbelief of the world, and he leads us to Bethlehem, the city of bread, the city of David, where Jesus was born. And it brings us to the confession that Jesus is Lord. There's only one. It's Jesus. And so the world is asking, can a logic person still believe in the year 2021, believe in Jesus, in the virgin birth, the Christmas story, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the fact that Jesus is Christ? And I tell you this morning, there's no other way. And the world is such a mess because they don't believe in Jesus. Your life is such a mess because you don't believe in Jesus. Read the Bible. Jesus was the Messiah who came to free us from ourselves, from hate, from bitterness, from loneliness, and to give us everlasting peace, love, hope, and joy. Jesus is the Word. And if you walk in Jesus, the living Word, you will have peace in the most impossible situations. Even when the whole world is afraid about this virus, about rising numbers again. And we will have open situations where other people can't see the light anymore. Why? Because God is light. Jesus is light. And we will not consider giving up in the most hopeless situation. With the sword against your throat, euthanasia on your deathbed, if you are struggling with the fiercest disease, an abortion because you fear the future will be taken away, you know that children is the future. You will have the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ that transcends all understanding. And we know God is faithful in His promises. God gave His Son. In Jesus, we have a future, an eternal future. Jesus is your future. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And so the Apostle Paul explained in Romans 10, for it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. It's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. There's no other way but Jesus. The scripture says, anyone who believes in Him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, richly blesses us all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And everything changes when Jesus becomes your Savior. Your perspective about life, your hope, your expectations, and you want to live a life out of gratitude in faith by the Holy Spirit. If you are still seeking the King today, you can know that Jesus is so much more than what the people expected. Jesus is a redeemer of this world. Jesus brought true peace. Jesus said in John 14 verse 27, the night before He was crucified, peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Messiah had come. The Old Testament's prophecies about Him were fulfilled. Believe in Him. Him alone. Repent and trust in God. But also know that God is in control of the future. Every prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus, will be fulfilled. And what is happening now is exactly what's happening as the Lord intended it. Everything is part of His plan. Everything had changed when Jesus was born. Look at the facts revealed in God's Word. Jesus was born, wrapped up in clothes, humiliated for our sakes. And the wise men honored Him still. If He's not your Savior, let Him be. And let your questions be answered in Jesus. Let Jesus be the King of your heart. Experience His peace. Not only on Christmas, but every day now in all eternity. The King is born. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the beginning with God. And the King of all kings' name is Jesus. It means Savior. He is my Redeemer, my Savior, the only way to inherit eternal life. And this is the true meaning of Christmas. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we stand still this morning at Bethlehem. And You brought us to Bethlehem, together with the wise men, through Your words. where they found Jesus. They worshipped him. And they had joy in their hearts. And we have this joy as well. We have this joy because we know Jesus is the King. We have found the King. We pray, Lord. We pray for Australia. We pray for those who don't know the King. We pray for those who are so confused. We pray for those who are without peace. That they will also look for the King. And when they found him, they can know. Jesus is the answer. In his name we pray. Amen.